You're listening to The Grow Show with me, Gary Jones.
Hey, folks, and welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, The Grow Show is here to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. And today's guest is the fantastic Sally Brady. Now, we're going to be talking about her journey using social media and what lessons she's learned along the way, plus loads of other stuff. So, Sally, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
So for the people who don't know what your business is at the moment, before we go back onto your journey and lessons learnt, describe yourself in 30 seconds. What do you do?
I am a confidence and mindset coach, and I work with businessmen all around the world around their business and confidence, because I believe that business is personal, so your business is you. No matter where you are in the world or whatever your business is, it is still you.
You had 30 seconds. You did it in 15 seconds, plus a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not easy. Very good about
it. No, it's all good. It's all good. So, so you've mentioned a really key point there, which we'll kind of delve into before we go back into your journey. And that is, obviously, it's personal and business owner, and the business is you. Now, I'm a full believer that if you grow your skills, so you grow yourself, you'll grow your business and you grow your community at the same time. But why is that? Why is business personal to a coach or someone?
I think because when you start on a journey, you start with an idea. And that idea is yours. You own that idea. So you put the idea out, you start to build. And as we go along the journey, we might employ people, we might do various aspects of business, but that business is still around the idea that you created. Mm. And I think that is the disconnection that some people feel they get, that they started an idea, it's got bigger, and suddenly it's not them, but it is, because they are the driving force behind it. So what they do, how they behave, impacts everybody around them. Whether you're a one-man band or a million-pound business, there is always somebody leading, and therefore somebody leading by example. And therefore it's important that your head is in the right place to get your business in the right place.
Got you. And what if your head isn't in the right place?
I think that's where things start to skew a bit. Okay. I've experienced it myself when I was working in the corporate world. Very, very strong leader. But his work ethic was dreadful in respect of how he, A, presented himself, B, the long hours, the constant micromanaging. It certainly pushed me to a burnout edge. And I know it pushed a couple of my colleagues in the same way. Therefore, to me, his mind wasn't in the right place. He was messy in the way he behaved, and that caused a mess around him.
Wow. And I can imagine if you've gone through it, and think when you're talking, I can picture a couple of people who I've worked with who are very, very similar. Very similar. And I'm sure people can relate to that as well. How would you, kind of looking back on the knowledge you've got now, how would you go about changing that situation? Or changing his behaviour?
I would certainly get somebody like myself in. We did have a business coach, but I know that she struggled working with him because, he was a very strong character. And I think it's getting somebody to realise and recognise the impact they're having on other people, and I think that's the bit you struggled with. But unless you pursue that and you demonstrate the impact that that person is having, they don't often see it. I know myself, I'm quite a tough person, and I'm not somebody that you drop hints to. I am that person that you say, Sally, you are actually making me feel bad by your behaviour. And I don't think anybody ever said that to him, and I think that is, if you've got somebody like that, then you, it is key you say it. And I know for me, if somebody says that to me, I'd step back and go, really? Tell me what I'm doing, so that I can put it right. But nobody had the strength to say that to him. So, and I think that's a lot with a lot of leaders. We have them so high on a pedestal that we don't say to them, your behaviour is impacting other people. Do you realise what you're doing? Because everybody sits in fear of the hierarchy and goes, especially in the corporate world, but he's the CEO. Yes, but he can also act like a dick.
Exactly. We're all human, and none of us are mind readers. So if you have got an issue with someone or the way that you think that someone's acting, it's completely right and completely just to talk to them about that behaviour. You're not attacking the person, you're just attacking that behaviour, essentially.
Yeah, totally. And I say, even the one-man bands, I mean, I know myself, when you approach somebody on social media and say, oh, by the way, I'm, you know, you drop your message in like you do, because we all have to do it, because we're all trying to grow our businesses. Some of the responses you get are horrendous. And you think, doesn't take much just to say, either ignore, because you don't have to respond, because we all know it's a salesy message, or just to say, thanks, but no thanks, or thank you very much, you know. It doesn't, I always do it myself. I just go, thank you. Or if it's something, you know, that a particularly bad pitch, I do ignore sometimes. But it's, you know, we're all out there to grow a business. You don't have to be rude. And I think that's the thing, is it's that person that's being rude. I think what's going on in your head that makes you behave like that?
Yeah, I think, and you're dead right, it's a reflection of them rather than you. But in your reaction, or the way that you kind of go for that, that's all down to you as a person.
So
let's talk about your journey. So, and certainly your journey through kind of social media and that kind of side of it. So where did it all start with you in terms of your business, and then how did you start using social media?
I started using social media, obviously, when I first started in sort of July time last year, sort of launching the business. I knew that obviously I had to get my face out there, had to write content that was relevant to my ideal client and who I am. So to
love it.
To my client. So initially I started on the Facebook platform. My background is very, very corporate. You know, I was an accountant for 30 years. So for me, being in Facebook was very, very uncomfortable. I'd only used it briefly, you know, for sharing family photos, that sort of thing, in a little bit. I didn't use it a lot, so going in there was really, really scary.
So, sorry, just making sure we understand, you didn't feel comfortable doing it, but you still did it. Why was that?
Because I knew that at the time, I thought that that is where my client would be. So okay. I had to push myself out of my comfort zone and start sort of put myself out there, put my content out there, and start messaging people. Initially, the response I got made me sort of sit back a bit and go, this isn't right for me.
Okay.
My business coach at the time was saying to me, you need to do this. This is part of the process. You know, it's all about that building the know, like, and trust that we all talk about. And I booked against it hugely, mainly because I say I was scared of Facebook. And my view was LinkedIn. I liked LinkedIn. I still like LinkedIn. Like I said, LinkedIn is my home. Because I felt the corporate side of it.
It's a safe space for you.
Yeah, it was totally. So I leaned towards LinkedIn. And I didn't feel that the content I put in Facebook that I could put in LinkedIn as well, because I thought, oh no, that's too personal. We can't do that. We can't share that side of us at all. So I used to do different posts.
Okay.
Now, along the journey, along the way, I leaned very much towards LinkedIn, but then started getting some feedback on Facebook, but realised they were the same people. So suddenly my brain connected the two. So I went from using Facebook all the time, LinkedIn all the time. I started sort of stepping it up on Facebook, and then I thought, hang on, if that's working, if they're connecting with me on Facebook, but they're seeing me on LinkedIn, there's no consistency. Because I'll look like two different people. So I took that leap of faith. And honestly, this was a huge thing for me. It was very, very scary. To suddenly combine the two. And whatever I put on Facebook, I put on LinkedIn. And that's when the magic started to happen for me.
So you've hit on so many key points there. And actually, I think a lot of people don't realise or don't figure it out until quite late, like you did, that actually you're just talking to people, and the social media channels are a communication channel with different quirks and different kind of platforms and that kind of stuff, but you're still talking to people at the end of the day. And by you kind of taking that leap of faith and passing that fear barrier and going, do you know what, actually I'm going to post the same thing on Facebook and LinkedIn, that's massive. That is a big gap to kind of go across. And you've already said it kind of felt strange, but after you started to do it, when did you start to see the responses kind of come in? Was that kind of straight away, or did it take a bit of time?
It was pretty much straight away, because I think because I'd all of a sudden, I think for me in LinkedIn, I've taken the barrier down, you know, and stopped being somebody who I wasn't. And Facebook, I think that really I was showing who I was anyway, but I think it was the mix of that you do have quite a lot of connections across the same suddenly warmed to you because they said, oh, there's the person.
Yeah.
There's the person I can connect with. So I started getting the responses. So, you know, saying that's when I say about the magic happening, it was a case of, I think, you know, for me, I put my real self out there and a raw real self as well.
Lovely. And at that time, what kind of messages, what type of messages were you putting out? Were you doing video, live streaming, blogging, text and pictures? What kind of content were you putting out there?
I tend to write, at the time I was just doing sort of one post a day and it would literally be what I considered would give value, but around my journey about, you know, how I became a coach from being an accountant for so many years. So it was about showing up who I am and why I'm there. Obviously in a year that's developed, and I do more than one post a day now. So it was very much at that time about sharing who I was. And that's what I was getting. Was even on LinkedIn, I was getting the connection of, well done you, you know, well done for putting yourself out here. Whereas before I hadn't dared do that. All I was doing was probably sharing a post or doing an article and being very serious. And as soon as I dropped that, it's amazing. I started getting the views, the engagement, that sort of thing.
It's funny looking back on it, I'm sure, but people buy people. And you became a person.
Yeah.
It sounds quite simple, but actually that was true. You weren't a logo. You weren't a corporate machine. You were Sally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was the consistency as well, I think, you know, that because people do look for you across the platforms. I think a lot of people don't realise that, that if, even though you're on LinkedIn, they will look on Facebook. Or they might see something that you do. And if you're showing two different pictures, two different banners, two different types of content, that it gives a very mixed message as to who you are.
So how are you helping businesses at the moment? I know you said about improving their confidence. What exactly is that? How do you do that?
I'll give you an example of a client I've got at the moment. I'm in isolation at the moment because of this client. I came into contact with the NHS in Maidstone TV studios last week, and one of them had the coronavirus.
So just to let people know that we're recording this on the 5th of March. Will probably go out in probably September time. So we don't know what's going to happen in between March and September for the coronavirus. But as of 1:30, on the 5th of March, you are in quarantine because you came in contact with someone.
Had to be somebody from the NHS as well.
There you go. So tell us about this. We've got sidetracked a little bit, but carry on with the story.
My client is, she owns, I say I work with businessmen, but actually this is a woman, owns her own care company. And one of her major struggles is that she's in a growth period. The company grew quite quickly. Because she works primarily with the NHS, so the contracts she had coming on board was fast and furious in respect of, it's not just elderly people, it's disabled, it's brain injured. She covers a whole scope. But her big message was that it was continuity of care. It's continuous care. That you get the same carer, a specific standard and things. So she had a whole ethos around her business that, when she came to me, I really liked. But one of the things with her is, you know, Vicky wants the whole business to be, you know, her, about how she feels. So she wants to instill that in her staff. She was struggling with that because they wasn't getting the key staff. The business, I say, was growing. So it was a case of, right, help me sort me out and my business. So I've been working with her now for about 3 or 4 months now. And what we've done is, I coach Vicky from a mindset perspective of, you know, you have to be in the right place in respect of, you know, you've got to grow your company, you're setting an example. Yes, you've got the perfect message, but you have to live that message too. She was being quite emotive in some of the way she reacted with the staff. You know, it was like WhatsApp messages and it was like, whoa, stop. You don't do that. You've got to lead by example. So the first thing I think I did was take a phone off her. No more messaging. You are not doing this. This is a wrong way to communicate with your staff. And get her to spill to me, you know, why she felt like it. So we talked, we did the whole thing around, you know, how you feel, why you feel, what your goals and objectives are, what drives you, you know, how, you know, I got her to read the Chimp Paradox. Love that book.
Okay, yeah.
So she could understand when her little chimp was rising its head and biting in her ear, to get her in the right place. And then we looked at the business as a whole and restructured the business so that she wasn't just leading herself and trying to spread herself across all areas, but she had key people she could use. Yes, it took a strip back on the business, not on staff, but on, you know, how things were run. So we sort of put departments in place, etc. And now she's able to move her business forward.
Brilliant.
There will be a stage when I'll have to step away, but at the moment she's still on a growth journey. So, you know, we're still looking at things. And for me as well, with having an accountant's head, you know, I can see that obviously there has to be profit drivers there too. But from a coaching perspective, this is a lady who wants her whole business to be who she is. And actually with the staff, with the way she now behaves, you've got that buy-in. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a brag from me, but I'm going to do it. She said that, you know, there is on LinkedIn a recommendation from her. And as she said, they couldn't do it without me. She wouldn't have been in the right place and her business wouldn't.
Brilliant.
It's been a lovely story.
So. I love that. I really like that. And I'm just wondering, it must be a nice mix between having the coach's kind of brain and the accountant's brain. And actually kind of having the mix. How did that come about? What made you kind of move from the accountant side to the coaching side?
Well, through the company, I worked for Bell, the cheese company, you know, little baby Bell.
Oh, yeah.
I worked for them. And it was this particular manager that I talked about earlier. It was him that pushed and pushed and pushed me to a point of burnout. Absolutely. When I hit burnout, they reckon I'd worked 48 hours non-stop, no sleep, nothing, and I just face-planked because I was being told, this is the need of the business, you have to do this, you have to do this. Just couldn't stop working. No. And I'd lost that whole ability to live a life. I was just working, despite having, a teenage daughter and things. I'd just left all that behind and was just work, and I was just like a gibbering wreck. I unfortunately decided that at that stage in my life that I just didn't want to be on the planet anymore, and I was driving down the M20, closed my eyes, end car, and that was bang. So luckily I'm still here. I was put in mental crisis, came through all that journey, obviously had the counselling, etc. I went back to work after about 2 months though of having counselling and things. I went back quite well 6 weeks, 2 months.
That seems quite quick. I don't know if it is quite quick.
That was quite quick when you think about where I was. I was that wobbly jelly that couldn't speak. But from there, it was like, where do I go from here? I don't know what my journey is anymore. Counselling's helped me so far. And I ended up actually seeking out, what was a lifestyle coach, but she was actually confidence and lifestyle coach, because I believed that I lacked confidence or I wasn't reading people right. There was something totally wrong with me. I still had that thought. The journey I went on with her was fantastic. She basically taught me about me. You know, she put me on a real journey about me. And from that, we're still working at Bell. I was getting asked by people all the time, you've changed massively. You're just this person that we didn't know. How have you done it? What have you done? And of course, I found myself talking more and more to people. And from there, it was a case of, right, okay, I actually enjoy this. I've been an accountant for 30 years, but actually, why did I become an accountant? Well, I fell into it. I fell into a role. And yes, I've been in a very successful place and had, you know, very senior roles and was doing very well in my career. But actually, was I really that happy? And from there, I just started to talk about it. And I talked it through with her as well. And she said, you know what? You could do what I do. And she said, you could learn the journey you've been on. You could use your journey to help other people. And from there, she introduced me to another coach who then sort of took me on the next stage. I did my coaching accreditation. I'm currently starting my NLP training. So did my, I because I'm that accountant that has to have a piece of paper that says I can do something, I had to have the coaching accreditation and things. I had to go on that journey and do all the hours of coaching. That was important to me. So
Wow. Talk about turning a weakness into a strength. That is just, what a journey. What a journey. Do you, because you've been through that journey, and when you're kind of talking to business owners or meeting someone for the first time, can you see yourself in some of these people?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Especially when it comes to the working all hours. Yeah. But even in the staff, you see it. I mean, there's one of the, this care company, I'm coaching one of the senior members of staff at the moment. And her thing is, I'll do it myself. I'll just do it myself. It's easier if I just do it. I can't delegate. And I keep saying, until you actually stop and look at yourself, if you fall over, what use are you to this business? You know, it has to be you first, business second. And it's a real battle with her at the moment. You know, it's, but she's starting to turn. But I can see it. I can see exactly how I was. That, you know, it was, what you don't recognise is that actually if you do fall over, that business continues. Yeah. And you think that that won't happen, but it does.
Very true. Wow. I'm just going to let that sink in. You know, that's very, very powerful. Very powerful. When it comes to kind of your kind of top tips to avoiding burnout or getting to that stage, what's the single most important thing that someone should do? Especially if they feel, actually, do you know what? I don't know if I'm at the point, but I'm asking myself the question, am I at the point? What can they do to stop that?
Self-care. Number one is self-care. For me, I found that exercise was my mental check-in, and I still do it now, even being a coach, because you're taking on so much of somebody else's problems. Mm. You need an outlet, and I think at any stage in life, you need an outlet.
Sorry, when you say self-care, what exactly do you mean? Yours was exercise, but is there other forms of self-care?
It's doing something that takes you away from that business or that the problem you've got when you're hitting burnout. It's find something that distracts you, even if it's walking your dog or cooking or, you know, so the reason I say exercise is because I am an exercise, you know, I love exercise. I do CrossFit type exercise. But you need to find an interest that makes you forget about the business side of things.
Nice. Very nice. Now, at this point, I like to talk about some trends that are happening that maybe in a year's time or a couple of years' time. Is there any trends in your kind of line of work that is coming through, or is it more actually there's just some there's the main principles that you need to stick to?
Certainly for me on my side of things, I've noticed, even like everybody else, it's the move to online. You see a lot happening online, even on from a coaching perspective. I mean, I've just put an online course out there because I recognise that actually it's not just top of business owners or business owners in general. It's, you know, you might be a business owner, but you feel you haven't got the time to just, you know, to focus on yourself. But actually, if you had something that you could do, you know, when you've got a spare hour or a half hour to help you grow, then you'll do it. So I think people are very much leaning towards online.
Okay.
Which, you know, I know it's been around a long time, but you see like the online gym training, you know, online. And I was talking to Connor this morning, and it's you know, it's online game changers, online lost weight loss, online PTing, everything is moving online.
Yeah, and just check in, Connor Graver by any chance?
Sorry?
Connor Graver by any chance?
Yes, it was.
Lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. You can catch his episode, probably two or three episodes back from this one. Yeah. Really good guy. And yeah, I know for me, if I want to form a habit, or, you know, when I look at my self-care, I love to read. So I'm reading every day, buy that a business book, buy that a graphic novel, buy that a comic, whatever it is. I love reading. But also I love Tai Chi and yoga meditation. So I've got apps on my phone that kind of track it, and, you know, they've made it a bit more gamified by giving me streaks. So I know that I've done 120 odd days on this and 50 odd days on that. But if it wasn't for that immediate access to the information, which an online course or a phone app could give you, you would have to find something else to do that. So I completely agree with online. any trends that you can see in your marketing in the next 6 months that you're going to start implementing? Put you on the spot here.
Sorry?
Putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, no, you haven't actually. I've just signed with an online marketing strategist to actually take me to where I need to go next, because I recognise that, obviously, I know about business, but I don't know about online marketing so much. So I'm literally starting an online marketing journey in 2 weeks' time, because I recognise that, you know, the platforms are changing, they're developing, and you've got to move with the times. Instagram, I am really weak with. I guess I tend to see it like my teenage daughter plays around on there and puts her pretty picture. I tend to go, that's not business. But it is. It's another form of business platform that I need to get a handle on.
Interesting. Cool. That's good to know. So I've got two little bits before we finish the podcast, because we've been talking for 25 minutes and I've loved every second. It goes so quick. So quick.
I told you I talk a lot.
No, it's... there's been some really powerful lessons and hints and tips all the way through. So thank you so much for your time today. In terms of your social media links and websites, how can people get in touch with you and connect with you online?
I am obviously around LinkedIn. Sally Brady. I am sallybrady.co.uk on the website.
Nice.
I am sally.brady on Instagram. And Sally Brady on Facebook. I'm just Sally Brady. Oh, I'm easy.
It's a full sweep. It's a full sweep on Sally Brady. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. I can't let you go without asking this last final question. And this is what would be your final thought. So to close the show today, what's your final thought, Sally?
My final thought is that people need to remember that what they put out there is you, that your business is personal, you are personal, and you just need to be you in every sense of the word, 100% you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time, Sally, and let's catch up soon.
Thank you.